Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
First, a working group. A working group has been set up by Ministers Heather Humphreys and Charlie McConlogue to tackle dog control issues. And this follows, as you know, a spate of attacks in recent months, including one incident where a 9-year-old boy was savaged by a dog in County Wexford and the loss of 80 sheep in a dog attack in County Tipperary. I spoke to Minister for Agriculture, Food and Marine, Charlie McConlogue, a little bit earlier and first asked him why the need for a working group on this.
Yeah, we do. Obviously, we have a lot of legislation in place at the moment. Indeed, there's been a lot of development of legislation in recent years as well, for example, in relation to microchipping of dogs, also in relation to the breeding of dogs, and also in relation to the enforcement and control of dogs. But what we want to look at now is actually how that is working and how that can be improved and built upon. And obviously, we have seen some very distressing instances recently. You know, across government, there's three government departments as such involved, and both myself and Minister Humphreys in the Department of Rural Affairs, and also through the Department of Housing, the local authorities have the role of managing dog wardens and enforcement. So we've brought together three government departments working with the local authorities as well to assess what could be done better, how we can improve the situation, particularly as well working on the enforcement of the legislation that is there.
Why not act proactively? Why the need for a working group? Why not just increase the sanctions and increase the number of officers to enforce the laws that are there first and foremost, and then set up a working group by all means?
Well, we are being proactive here because we want to identify the real meaningful steps we can take which will make a real difference here. And that's going to involve enforcement. It's also going to involve awareness. But this working group now across the government departments will actually identify the particular steps that we can take which will make a real difference here.
How long will it take?
Over the next short 2 to 3 weeks, we expect to have an initial report from the working group. And then depending on what the measures are and the steps are coming out of that, we'll be looking to step those out.
Every day or week that you delay, God forbid there could be another attack on a child, or the IFA are blue in the face, they say, pointing out the various attacks on livestock, and they say very quickly things could be done. They want tougher sanctions for those who fail to have their dog under control at all times, and for those whose dogs are identified worrying or attacking livestock, and they say additional resources to ensure compliance with the obligations of dog owners. You could do that today, tomorrow, without a working group.
Well, of course, just to take that second point, is about identifying what the additional resources that would make a difference is. And of course, it's not that there isn't anything happening here, Cormac. We already have laws in place. We already have enforcement mechanisms in place. They are continuing to operate. What we want to identify is, can they be improved? Can they be strengthened? And then step those out promptly. And I think this is the right way to do it. We will then back that up in terms of resources and action to implement measures which we feel will make a real and identifiable difference.
Can I ask you about Cailte, the semi-state forestry company, for a second? Because it has caused ripples, their plans, to sell tracts of Irish land to a British investment fund. Now, farming organisations, including the IFA, have expressed fears that the new fund will price farmers out of the land market. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, listen, I mean, across the board, we have an objective of backing family farms in particular, but also backing the plantation of forestry across the country. It's something that has worked well for the country. It's something that's going to be really important in terms of meeting our climate objectives, and also in relation to replacing more fossil-based resources and materials, for example, in building as well. And just recently, along with Minister of State Hackett, I announced a new forestry plan, which is going to really significantly increase the premium rates that are available, significantly increasing the premium rates that are available to family farms in particular, and extending those to 20 years tax-free, which I think is going to make a real step change in relation to the attitude and the level of forestation in the country. Cailte in the past would have done afforestation. They haven't been doing it in recent times. Their current plan and strategy outlines how they hope to actually commence planting again, as well as managing the forest that they have.
But what about selling huge tracts of Irish land to a British investment fund, because the ICSA, they're demanding urgent government rethink on this. They say don't sell to a foreign investment fund because it won't benefit the local economy. Do you agree with that?
No, so listen, Cailte have been exploring options which would enable them to start planting themselves again as well. They've been working with the Irish Strategic Investment Fund in terms of how they could identify private investment which would work with them in relation to that. This is something that they themselves have been stepping out. I will be engaging with them to discuss their plans further. I know the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee
do you share the IFA, the ICSA's concerns about selling large tracts of farming land or forestry land to an investment fund from overseas?
Well, first of all, what's been discussed here by Kilcher from the report I have already is 12,000 hectares between now and 2030, which is a very small proportion of the overall plantation.
But
which
it really depends if it comes from one area or not.
And my understanding is that it is new plantation as well.
So you have no concerns. I'm going to infer that you have no problem with that.
Not existing Kilcher plantations. So listen, obviously we all have the objective of seeking to improve the level of afforestation in the country. It's important for the country and it's an important objective. But as I say, I will be engaging with Kilcher around discussing their plans.
But I'm going to infer that you don't have a problem with selling tracts of Irish land to an investment fund from overseas, especially the concern from farming organisations is that they'll be priced out of the market.
Overall, the objective of plantation is a positive one. This is something Kilcher used to do. It's something I'll be meeting and engaging with them on to discuss their plans further and to discuss those and following on from that then and having engaged with them on it, I will consider the matter further. I know it's something also that the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee will be meeting with them on.
Can I ask you about an issue that's close to your own heart, I know, as a public representative and minister, but also closer to the hearts of many of your constituents, and it's mica and the families that are affected by mica. Now, Barry Lenehan on our programme carried a report on this, I'm sure you've heard, some weeks ago. Mica families commissioned a study of a foundation of a mica-affected home. And the study confirmed the existence of pyrrhotite, which is not included in the micro-redress scheme that you and your government announced some time ago. Do you think this scheme now should be expanded to allow for this deleterious chemical, pyrrhotite?
Yeah, well, it has been amended to include for that. There's been significant engagement over the course of the autumn between the Department of Housing, the Minister for Housing and Donegal County Council. And indeed, I've been working along with my own team of county councillors, Donegal, closely with Donegal County Council as well, to ensure that we can get applications moving again and that we can get answers for homeowners. Pyrrhotite is now being assessed and considered as part of applications that Donegal County Council are deciding upon, and thankfully over the course of the last number of weeks prior to Christmas and continuing, we are now seeing families every week getting decisions in relation to their applications so that they can move ahead and plan for construction.
So that will increase the total cost of redress, won't it?
No, it won't. No, it will simply make sure that all issues are being fully considered. And unfortunately, the challenge was that a number of applications were stalled pending unlocking of this particular challenge. And thankfully, now we have a protocol in place between the local authority and the Department of Housing to make sure that decisions are issuing. That then means the families can get on, engage the builder and get their homes fixed and get moving on with their lives.
Can you explain to me how it wouldn't increase the cost of redress? Because pyrrhotite was found in a foundation. Now, if it were to be in all of the foundations, it would mean that simple wall renovation wouldn't suffice. You'd have to rebuild from the foundation up.
So the current scheme fully provides for a house to be fully rebuilt. The minister has made it clear that in relation to the solid concrete foundation, that if there's any issue with that also will be accommodated. Any evidence around that will be fully assessed by the minister and the scheme amended to reflect that. But it is certainly over the last year, as homes have become tested, it has become clear that it's not just a mica issue in the blocks, that it's also an issue of pyrrhotite and other deleterious materials. That now has been accommodated in the assessment of each application. Thankfully, that means that the applications are progressing. We've currently had about 20 houses fixed in the county. There's about 40 under construction, and every week now families are getting answers on their applications to be able to move on and move to construction as well. There's no doubt, Cormac, the progress has been too slow over the last year. Mm-hmm. I have found it Massively frustrating. I know homeowners have found it massively frustrating, but massive work has gone into it. Massive progress has been made. The key objective now over the course of the next few weeks and months in the course of this year is to make sure that as many homes as possible move to construction.
I know you're at the Farming and Climate Summit in Thomond Park in Limerick, and the IFA are there, obviously, and so are all the other people invested in stakeholders, invested in farming and agriculture in the country. Can I ask you about something very important that the IFA said recently? And they say that they will try and meet climate targets within the agriculture framework, but not if it's at the expense of their livelihoods or incomes. Now, I believe you gave some information to the delegates there about the beef herd reduction, that there wouldn't be a beef herd reduction. Is that right?
Economic sustainability is the pillar on which everything else can happen, and families have to be profitable first and foremost. And in terms of the Common Agricultural Policy Programme I brought forward, if there's a 50% increase in funding, for example, to support that. What I've also done then is working with farmers, because we have to actually do this together to bring about the reduction in emissions that we need to do. I put together two committees to identify the various measures which we can actually put in place, and it identified a range of measures. What it was also clear on is that it didn't fail and it wasn't supportive of a voluntary reduction in the beef side. And in fact, if we look at the beef side in particular the suckler cow side, which is really important to our beef industry, there hasn't been rising emissions, and there's been indeed quite efficient from an emissions point of view. And working with the sector, I accept that we can do it and we can get to the 25% by providing options to farmers in relation to how they can improve their income, and without the need for a voluntary reduction in relation to beef sucklers. In relation to the Food Vision Dairy Group, they have proposed that we should consider further a voluntary reduction scheme in the dairy sector, and that's something that I'll step out and consider further with them.
But so there may be in the dairy sector, measures, is that it?
There
may be a reduction needed in the dairy sector.
So in relation to the Dairy Vision, the Food Vision Group I put together, they proposed that there should be a voluntary reduction scheme considered there and examined further. That's something that I will do with them, because, again, the stakeholders feel that there is a role and a need for that.
Yeah, well, with all due respect, I don't know how you would meet your climate targets in your department if you're ruling out a reduction in beef herd numbers and all of the reduction in dairy would be voluntary.
In our climate action plan, the progress that we are already making, there is a pathway there which we will fully support farm families on, and which a journey farm families have been on for a number of years now, which can deliver upon that.
And what if there are no voluntary
together
reductions?
And very importantly, rewarding farm families for the work that they're doing, ensure that farm family incomes are improving.
And
in
what
the
if
process.
There are no voluntary reductions in the dairy sector?
Well, the nature of a voluntary reduction is that it's only something which people would take if it was something they chose to do so.
Yeah, what if
it's
there are
only
none?
It is only one potential step that is available. Farmers are making massive progress, for example, in relation to how we manage our grassland, how we reduce our chemical fertilizer, the adoption of multi-species sward, the improved breeding techniques as well, which are significantly reducing the carbon footprint of our beef.
We've just discussed a range of topics here, from mica to climate targets to agriculture, housing and so on. And in the rough and tumble of political discourse, tempers can get frayed. And I note that this week alone, two of your colleagues at a public meeting had excrement thrown at them, much to the horror and condemnation of so many people up and down the country. I'd just like to get your own opinion on it, since you're in such a contentious department. Is it something that you're concerned about, your own safety when you're in conducting public affairs?
Thankfully, it's not something I have ever been concerned for. Listen, you know, we have a very healthy democracy in Ireland whereby we engage very closely with the public, and I think that's really important. What happened, my friend Anne Rabbit and Kieran Cannon, was horrible. It is an exceptional incident, but it is horrible, and I think it rightly condemned by everyone. It does speak, I think, to the importance of everyone having respect for each other, and indeed having maintaining a healthy discourse and in terms of how we engage in politics and indeed engage in every aspect of our life, and indeed in social media, which unfortunately is not the norm nowadays.
Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue, thank you very much indeed for joining us.